saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly. Well, we're going to stop our study right here, and we'll pick it up next Sunday. And a lot has been said, and I hope that each one of you will be a cow this week, a spiritual cow. And I hope that each one of you will ruminate and digest and process all the spiritual food that we've enjoyed together this morning. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of life. We love you, and we thank you for what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to Strength for Today from the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Doug Vick of the First Baptist Church of Durand. If you have a question or a comment about what you've heard today, call or text the church at 715-894-7555, 715-894-7555. You're also invited to visit them on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. They meet at the Riverview Community Center at 606 West Madison Street in Durand. It's 9 o'clock at Real Country 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM Translator, W297CH, Durand. Time now for the weekly service from the First Baptist Church of Algiers in Walker, Louisiana.
Dear Father, we do thank you for another day. Thank you for bringing each one of us here this morning. And Lord, I just ask that you would meet with us. Bless us, Lord. Send thy Holy Spirit among us. And Lord, I just especially ask for myself that you give me grace to stand here, that you send thy Spirit upon me. Put words in my mouth, Lord, according to thy will, that I might speak thy word, thy gospel, and lift up Christ, that all might see. Help us, Lord. Bless us. Bless all those on our sick list. Lord, you know each one. You know each need. We thank you for them. Thank you for those that you have blessed and healed and raised up. But Lord, we ask you for more yet again. You say, come and ask, and all these things, Lord. So I come pleading with you. Have mercy on us. Bless our pastor and all those, Lord, on the sick list. Bless the offering as we receive it. May it all be used for thine honor and glory to get the gospel out. Go with us through this time, and ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this broadcast is coming to you from our chapel here at First Baptist Church, here located here in Walker, Louisiana, at 9559 Florida Boulevard. Our mailing address, if you'd like to send us a letter, postcard or something, and we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And I want to welcome each one of you here in the chapel, all those who are hearing over the internet and over the radio stations, the live broadcast going out over many stations this morning. And I want to welcome everybody. And Stay with us. If you're on the internet or the radio, stay with us for the next hour and ask the Lord to give you a blessing from what you hear. So I'm glad to be here this morning. And so let's open our service with in the Red Book, number 62, Near the Cross, verses 1 and 2. Sick on the prayer list, and it seemed like the list just keeps growing. With Miss Wileen Lovis and her sister Miss Peaches out there in California, Brother Ben White and his family, Brother Kenneth and Miss Dory Gayo and Miss Dorothy Vale, Miss Pat Kaufman, Brother Gerald Robinson, Miss Marie Thompson, Miss Theda Adcock, Miss Caroline Antoine, Miss Aloise Antoine, Miss Becky Boudreaux, Miss Audrey Thomas, Brother Joaquin Martinez, Brother Terry Newton and his dad, Brother Russell Perry, Miss Lorraine Geringer, Miss Jessie Dwyron, recovering from her surgery. Everything went well, so thank the Lord for that. And then Miss Chris Holmes and her sister Tammy, Miss Gina Marshall, Brother Robert Waymeyer, still in the hospital, Brother Arvis Shows, and Miss Lynn King, serious problem with her foot there in Jackson. And then Becky Inglis and her sister Beth, that's Brother Sam Inglis's daughter, just asked for prayer. So y'all, don't forget these. Ask the Lord for them as you go to prayer. And then in the nursing home, Brother Jimmy Gayo, Brother Clifford Birchfield, Miss Mary Perrin, Miss Claudine Fisher, and Brother Harold Cranfield. So let's ask the Lord for them, that the Lord will bless them and, if possible, raise them up and deliver them from such sickness. So let's take our Broadman songbook now and turn to number 133, The Rock That Is Higher Than I, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Sometimes the shadows are deep and rough seems the path.
next song, we don't have it in any of the books, is Who Am I? And it's an old song that we recorded back in New Orleans. And it's a gracious song. I love the song. So y'all listen as the choir sings. Think about what the Lord did in salvation. And whenever I hear that song, I can't help but think of the election of God and how he chose me back in eternity. And that song, I believe, puts words to a lot of the way I feel about what the Lord has done for me. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? And it's simply put, but it in no way expresses the extent of what the Lord did. But I praise the Lord for what he's done for me. But I want to speak this morning. I've titled the message, Repentance and Salvation Today. Today. And looking at more along the lines of what we have today. When I think of our world today, the religious world, the people, the churches, and these things, with all the churches that we have, and you look around and you count the churches, there are just churches seemingly everywhere. A lot of churches. And there's a lot of people that go to these churches. But when you look at all these churches and you talk to some of the people, you'll find that There are so many who have no concern at all for their soul. Just unconcerned. And not only do we find many unconcerned, we find many who seemed to be deceived in their salvation. And I'm not judging. Lord, help me that I not judge. But the Bible tells us how the Lord saves a sinner. And if you tell me that the Lord saved you, I'll leave it at that. But whenever you start explaining about seeing a light, hearing a sound or a vision or a dream or these things, well, that's not in God's word. That's not what the Lord uses to save a sinner. But there's a lot of people that think they're saved, but know nothing of true salvation. They know nothing of saving faith, know nothing of repentance, know nothing of seeking the Lord, or any of these other things that the Bible tells us about. And I see a lot of people come in here. We've had a couple come in here that sit through the services, and they speak later, and they say, well, you know, if y'all had a big band, live music, things would probably be better for you. Or if you had activities, big gymnasium maybe out in the back, and Christmas cantatas and all these things. That's what the world is doing. That's what the world wants. And it's a sad state. But the fact is, the Bible tells me, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel, and that's what I want to do. I'm not called to lead a sinner to Christ. I'm not called or taught through God's word. I'm not taught to grow the church. We're not to have a big band. We're not to entertain people, but preach the gospel. Call sinners to repentance. Tell people that Christ died that you can be saved. Preach the gospel. The gospel says man is a sinner. He's headed for hell by nature. And Christ came to save sinners from hell, to make a way of escape that you don't have to go there. My purpose is to be true to your soul, to tell you what God's word says. And that's what I want to do. I want to tell you the truth as it's written in God's word. Now, there may be others that, other preachers, other even friends and relatives and these things who will make excuses for you. Oh, well, you don't need to do that. You don't need to worry about repentance. You can believe and you can repent and just clean up your life and you'll be okay. But they'll make excuses for you. They'll give you half-truths, and many will give you just plain old lies. Plain old lies. And I think there's a lot of that in our land, in our churches today. But I want to bring you to truth. I want to tell you what God said in his word. And Christ told us, preach the gospel. And in preaching the gospel, the first thing I have to tell you, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. Every one of us are born sinners. We come into the world as a sinner. We can't get away from being a sinner. We're a sinner by nature. And being a sinner, and you can't get out of that, but being a sinner, you've brought upon yourself condemnation. Condemnation from a holy God. And being condemned means you're currently under a reprieve because you're not that judgment is not executed yet. You're under reprieve. The judgment is coming. It's sure. It's soon to be executed on you. And soon enough, you'll be in hell if you don't come to Christ for salvation. That's why Christ came. Man's a sinner. Comes into the world a sinner. On the broad road, headed for hell. And Christ came to open up that straight, narrow way that you can escape from that broad road and come to Christ. You can be saved. You can escape the judgment of hell. That's what salvation is, to escape the judgment of hell. This salvation that Christ made, that he worked out there on the cross of Calvary, this salvation is made freely available. Freely available to all who will come to him for it. It's not distributed to all in that sense. You must come for it. It's not going to come for you. You're going to have to come for it. You're going to have to come to Christ. You're going to have to seek the Lord. Salvation is freely available. Some people will say that everybody's going to be saved. In the end, you're going to be saved. You're a good person by nature. But that's the big difference. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that all have sinned. All are under condemnation. All need salvation. And it seems to me that looking at these different churches, these different preachers and what they say and the sermons they preach, it seems to me that very few people know what true salvation really is. Few people. They don't know what it is. And not knowing what salvation is, all they want to say is, well, just believe. Come and give your heart to Jesus. Come and say the sinner's prayer. Pray through all these things. But these things are not salvation. They won't save you. They won't deliver your soul from hell. Christ came to save. He came to save sinners. Now, I remember before the Lord saved me, the confusion, those things, what was salvation, what's it like, how you save, how you know if you save, and 1,000 other questions. But one thing I know is when the Lord saves you, he will make you to know. God will make you to know that you're saved. Nobody else can know. Nobody else can tell you. If somebody else tells you, they're only guessing or wishing or even telling you straight up lies. They don't know. You can't know that I'm saved. Can you look at me and say that I'm saved? Do I look different because the Lord saved me? You can't look and tell. You can see some of the things that people do and say, and you can get an idea, but you can't know. And that's one of the problems with the world today. Nobody knows what salvation is. They've never experienced salvation. They don't know it experimentally, and they don't know what it is, and so they are just leading people astray. Well, you're good enough. You've been doing good. You've been living a good life, and you've been donating your time and effort and your money and all these things to people in need, and you help the church, and you do all these great and wonderful things. But that's not salvation. In fact, that's spoken of plainly in the Bible, where the people came to before the Lord there on Judgment Day and say, "Lord, Lord, haven't we done all these great, wonderful things?" And what did the Lord tell them? "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's not salvation. Doing all these wonderful works is not salvation. Salvation is a process worked out in the heart and in the mind of every redeemed sinner. It's not saying some magic words and claiming salvation because you said those words, saying some simple prayer and these things. Salvation is coming to know Christ as your Redeemer. Coming to know Him. One of the greatest things in the process of salvation is repentance. Repentance. Brother Freddie was speaking about King David there, repenting over his sin. But repentance is something that most people, most churches, don't speak about, don't consider. Doesn't enter into their salvation. And look what the Bible tells us. "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Repentance is one of the strict requirements, I guess you could say, for salvation. No repentance, no salvation. No repentance, you're going to perish. But nobody speaks about repentance. Nobody calls on a person to repent. Today, it seemed like everybody wants to put all the emphasis on believing. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe. And surely you must believe. You must believe. You must have a saving faith. But did you know God's word says that faith, the ability to believe unto salvation, is a saving faith, and saving faith is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. God has to give it to you. And that means that if God doesn't give it to you, you won't ever have it. You won't. You can't pump it up. You can't work it up. You can't do enough works to build it. You can't go to church enough. You can't read your Bible enough. You can't pray enough. You can't have faith unless God gives it to you. You can believe the Bible. You can believe that Jesus came and died on the cross. You can believe that you're a sinner. But that's not saving faith. Saving faith comes from God. You're not able to believe unto salvation unless God gives you that faith. You don't have it. And that's why we always say, you hear it over and over, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. That's because Christ will give you faith. He'll give you repentance. He'll give you those things, but you have to come to Him. He's not going to... And I kind of like to think of it as just spreading the gospel. We spread the gospel. We send it out over the radio and the internet and printed page, and every way we're able to do it, we send it out everywhere. We cover the world with it, that everybody will hear it. But that's the gospel. That's not the faith. That's letting you know that the faith is there. You have to come. You have to plead with the Lord. You have to ask for it. And it's the same with repentance. You don't have repentance. Repentance is a gift just like faith. You can't produce it yourself. The Lord must give it to you. If you want repentance and faith that you might be saved, then you have to do what the Bible says. And what does the Bible say? Seek the Lord. The Bible says, humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. That's 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's what the Bible tells you to do. If you want to be saved, that's what you're going to have to do. Are you saved? Were you saved by working up your own faith? I tried that one time. I worked up my own faith. I convinced myself that Christ died for me. And it lasted about a day. Wasn't worth anything. You don't have it. If you pump your own faith up, it will last a little while and be gone. But when the Lord saved me, He gave me a lasting faith. It's been over 20 years now. And that faith is still there. That repentance is still there. That repentance is going on every day. That faith, just like that, going on every day, looking to Christ, looking to Christ, calling on the Lord every day. Lord, help. Lord, help. I praise the Lord for what He's done for me. But whenever we speak of repentance, do you know what repentance is? And most people, yeah, repentance means to change your mind and stop doing your bad works and like the Bible says, turn from your evil ways and seek the Lord. And that's part of repentance, but that's not, that's the open outward, you might say, visual thing that people see and know or understand. But the repentance is a godly repentance. It's having the understanding enlightened. Because until the understanding's enlightened, you have very little to repent of. And when the Lord enlightens the understanding, you can see. You understand what you are before God. And then, once you see all that, you have something to repent of. And you have reason to repent of it. You can't see that wicked state that's within you, the wickedness of your nature and those things until the Lord awakens you and shines that light, shows you, makes you to know. And when the Lord shows you that, you'll get an understanding of what God sees when He looks at you. And the Bible gives us several instances of examples of the corruption that the Lord sees when He looks at us. But whenever you begin to see what the Lord sees and see it as God sees it, you'll see that you're vile and wicked and sinful before God. You'll see that it's an awful thing, and you'll begin to perceive what you are in the same light that God perceives you. And you'll become your own sinful nature, your sinful condition will become repulsive to you. You'll hate it, despise it. And that's where true repentance kicks in. You'll hate what you are. You despise yourself. You despise all that you are. You see how awful you are and begin to despise it. And that's when repentance begins to come about. And it's all brought about in the heart by the working of the Holy Spirit. Are you saved? Has the Lord worked repentance in you? Repentance is not taught. We don't see it. Whenever we hear about people being saved, we don't see any form of repentance in them. Look at a typical, a scenario of a person being saved in an average church today. And I would think it would go something like this. A person has a pricking of his conscience, becomes concerned. Maybe he heard a gospel message. Maybe somebody near to him died or whatever. However, maybe he was reading his Bible and the Lord took something to his heart. But he become concerned about his soul and said, well, I don't want to go to hell. And so he goes to his local church and he tells the pastor, I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell, and I see that I'm a sinner. And the pastor says, okay, well, that's good. And he says, well, just say a prayer and be earnest and be sincere and tell Jesus you're a sinner. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to save you. And then believe that Jesus died for you. And go out, live as best you can. Go to church. Do these things. Now, as I understand it, that's what most churches hold out as salvation. But there's no salvation in that. There's not. That is nothing more than the work of Satan smoothing over and pacifying a sinner that the Lord has pricked, a sinner that has become concerned. And the pastor smooths it over. Don't worry about it. Say this prayer. You're okay. It's not salvation. It's not even close to salvation. It's not the gospel. It's not repentance. It's not faith. It doesn't require any of what God's word lays out before you. None of it's there. Christ said, come to me. Where is coming to Christ? The Bible tells you, seek the Lord. And that's part of that in 2 Chronicles there. Seek the Lord. Seek my face. And that's not only one time in the Bible. That's strewn all through God's word. To seek the Lord. It's taught all through the Bible. And then where is repentance? Where is that God-given repentance that causes a person to want salvation more than anything else? Where is that repentance? Where is that striving to enter in, spoken of there in Luke 13, 24? Where is the forsaking all, spoken of in Luke 14, 33? Where is that coming out from the world and being separate, spoken of in 2 Corinthians 6, 17? Where are all these things? What kind of salvation do you have? We find that the way of salvation is straight and difficult, according to Matthew 7:14. That means it's offensive to the human nature. It's offensive. We don't like it, and we don't want it. What kind of salvation do you have? Will your salvation get you into heaven when you leave this life? Will it? When the Lord truly saves you, your salvation will align and agree with what God's Word teaches. And I praise the Lord that I can align my salvation with God's Word. Can you? Now, Brother J.C. Philpott, he says, there are two kinds of repentance which need to be carefully distinguished from each other, though they're sadly confounded. He says there's evangelical repentance and there's a legal repentance. Cain, Esau, Saul, Ahab, Judas, they all repented. But their repentance was the remorse of a natural conscience. It was not the godly sorrow of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. They trembled before God as an angry judge, but were not melted into contrition before Him as a forgiving Father. They neither hated their sins nor forsook them. They neither loved holiness nor sought it. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, refused it. Esau plotted Jacob's death. Saul consulted the witch of Endor. Ahab put Micaiah, God's prophet, who told him the truth, put him in prison. And Judas went out and hanged himself rather than come to Christ and ask for forgiveness. What kind of repentance do you have? There is a false repentance towards God. It's a repentance that doesn't come from God. It doesn't enlighten the understanding. You never see the awfulness of sin. And never seeing the awfulness of sin, you never come to Christ to have it put away. You live with it. You go on with it. You accept it. Many people hear a faithful gospel sermon and they're stirred and moved by it. Because there is a power that goes out with God's word, and God testifies of His own word, and He causes those who hear it to tremble. Listen, when people hear it, they may tremble and cry, and they understand that God's angry with the wicked every day. They can understand that they've offended God. And they can still go about without that godly repentance. You tremble. You understand your sin. But you won't come to Christ. Look there at Felix as Paul testified before him. Paul stood there in chains. Boldly told Felix, preach the gospel to him. He preached of righteousness and temperance, the judgment to come. And we read that in Acts 24:25. And it says that Felix trembled. The word of God went home to him. He understood it and he trembled. But instead of repenting, he said, go thy way. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. Go on now. It's frightening to me. I'm scared. And I don't know what to do, and just get on away from me. I'll call you later. Is that what you're doing? The word goes home to your heart, and you're pricked, and you're concerned, and you feel guilty, and you just want to get away from it. It's plain to see that the gospel had an effect on Felix. It had an effect. The gospel has an effect on you. You hear the gospel, you understand it, you know the meaning, you've heard faithful gospel messages before. Speaking of Christ, his sin is sacrifice from sin. You've heard the call, come to Christ, seek the Lord. You've heard it many times. You've trembled many times, but you've never repented. You haven't turned to God. You haven't sought his face. You've heard, you've understood, you've trembled, but you won't come. Look there at King Agrippa. He says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He said, that gospel, it sounds so good to me. The putting away of sin, the avoiding hell, being able to enter into heaven with God, and all the pleasures and the joy there. You almost persuade me to be a Christian. Sounds like a wonderful thing. Paul told King Agrippa how the Lord saved him. He told him how Christ spoke to him on the road. He told how he went about preaching after the Lord saved him. And King Agrippa believed what Paul told him. He believed it. King Agrippa understood that he was a sinner before God. He understood that he needed a Savior. He understood all the benefits of salvation. But that's as far as it went. Is that what you're doing? You're just like King Agrippa. You understand that you're a sinner. You know, you've been told. You understand that you need a Savior. You understand all that. You understand all the benefits of salvation, how they will deliver you out of hell and condemnation. You understand that it'll bring you into heaven to be with the Lord forever and to partake of all the pleasures and the joys of heaven. You understand all these things, but you won't repent. You won't come to Christ. You won't plead with the Lord for help. You just go on, day after day, time after time. You hear, you understand, you believe, but you don't find repentance. Why? It's because repentance comes from God. It comes from God. He has to give it to you. You're trying to make it up yourself. You're expecting from your own understanding that you can bring about your own repentance. Maybe from hearing the gospel. Maybe from studying your Bible. Maybe from experiences in life. But it's never going to happen. All you can ever produce is just a carnal repentance that won't save you. You can stop your smoking and your drinking and your cussing, and you can start living a good life, and you can start going to church, and you can give money and support the church and support all these other things and do all your works and great works. And I'm not saying anything bad about them. That's things that should be done. But none of those things is repentance. None of those things is salvation. Repentance is the gift of God. It comes from God. If you ever receive it, it's because the Lord gives it to you. You're going to have to seek the Lord. Come to Him and ask Him for salvation, for repentance, for faith. You're going to have to seek the Lord. The Lord's not going to send the repentance and the faith out like we send out the gospel. It doesn't come out like that. You're going to have to seek the Lord. You're going to have to come to Him. Maybe you say, well, how will I know if the Lord gives me repentance? What should I do when I receive it? And we have lots of questions like these. But I remember in my own case, when the Lord dealt with me and the Lord gave me repentance, and the sorrow and the agony of soul that I was in, I didn't know when the Lord gave me repentance. I believe I had repented a long time before the Lord ever granted me faith to believe. And I don't know. I can't put all that stuff together. I believe Brother Shelton could lay it all out much plainer than I ever could. But after the Lord saved me and someone spoke about repentance one time, and I thought, oh no, how can I say I'm saved? I don't think I ever repented. But repentance comes about. You don't need to know specifically that you repented. Repentance comes when the Lord awakens you and shows you and you see all these things. It comes. That's the way the Lord gives it to you. It comes with that opened understanding, those enlightened eyes. It comes about. And the thing is, whenever the Lord awakens you and shows you what you are, you look at that awfulness and you forget about repentance. You forget about that. You start acting repentance. You start doing repentance, and you don't think about it. Repentance will come. You don't need to worry about it. Faith will come. You don't need to worry about it. You just plead with the Lord to save you. Beg Him for salvation. When the Lord begins to work in your heart, the Holy Spirit begins to do His work, you'll be a mass of confusion. You won't know what you're doing, where you're going, how you're getting there. But you just plead with the Lord. Lord, help. The one thing I believe that stands out above everything else when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with you is that you'll see what a sinner you are. More than you would ever know. You'll see what a sinner you are. And you'll see the awfulness of that sin. Right now, before the Lord awakens you and deals with you, sin doesn't mean anything. You can go about your life in sin, think nothing of it. But when the Lord awakens you, shows you the awfulness of sin, you can't do that anymore. You see sin for what it is. You don't like sin anymore. You don't want to sin anymore. It's awful to you. I praise the Lord for salvation. Repentance is a gift. If you ever receive it, you're going to have to come to Christ. If you never come to Christ, you'll never receive repentance. Part of the Spirit's work is to show you that you're a sinner, and it'll be a great and awful thing. Another part of the Spirit's work is to draw you to Christ. Whenever the Spirit begins His work, opens your understanding that you begin to see what you are, you'll have that great desire to get away from sin. And the only way to get away from sin is to come to Christ. And when the Spirit begins that work, you'll come to Christ. You'll want Christ. You'll say like old Job there, "Oh, that I knew where I might find Him." And I remember those times. You'll want Christ. You'll see the awfulness of sin. It'll make you want Him even more. You won't be concerned about repentance or faith. You won't be concerned about heaven or hell. You'll be concerned about getting to Christ. Oh, where could I find Him? I praise the Lord for salvation. Are you saved? How did the Lord bring you? Did He open your understanding? Did He cause you to see you're a sinner? Did He put a strong desire in your heart to get to Christ? Did you seek the Lord? Did you call on the Lord? Did you strive to enter in? Did you come and reason with Him? Did you find that you were separating yourself from the world? That you were forsaking all that you had just to get to Christ? How does your salvation square up with God's Word? Whenever I hear these things of say this prayer, believe, give your heart to Jesus, I praise the Lord that He didn't let me get caught up in those kind of things. I praise the Lord for salvation. I wish there was something more that I could tell you about coming to Christ. Something more that you could hold to, but you're going to have to look to the Lord. You're going to have to call on Him. I can't help you. I can't help you one bit. All I can do is point you to Christ. Call on the Lord. Our Father, I thank You for this time. Lord, I thank You for Thy Word. I thank You for Thy great salvation. I thank You, Lord, that for Thy own purpose, You chose me and called me, sent Thy Spirit to work in me, and You gave me faith and repentance. And all these things, Lord, gave me grace to look to Christ. And Lord, I just plead with You. Lord, You did it in me, and I know that You can do it in others. And so, Lord, have mercy on us and send Thy Spirit to do that work in the hearts of our people. Have mercy on us. Guide us, keep us now, and I ask all these blessings in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.
You've been listening to the First Baptist Church Algiers weekly service from Walker, Louisiana. If you would like to find out more information about the church or send a prayer request, visit radiomissions.org. That's radiomissions.org. It's Sunday morning on WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some snow early, then we'll see skies turning mostly sunny. Highs in the lower teens, a northwest breeze. For tonight, partly cloudy skies. Lows around 10 below, wind chills to 25 below. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, our handcrafted family secret since 1976. Try it today at grandpa'sbbqshop.com. It's 3 at our studios.
The entertainment you want, the information you need. Locally owned and operated, we are Real Country. 1430 AM stereo, WRDN. Durand, Plum City, Elkmount, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH, Durand. Real Country.